Well, this exhibition of David Plowden's work, drawn from the museum's collection, is a celebration of two things. One is the first would be David's gifts, several gifts to the collection over several years, but also a celebration of David's life and career as a photographer. And this conversation started back in 2010. I was interested in learning more about Plowden. I had worked at the Center for Creative Photography, and I was not familiar with Plowden until I came. Although I was familiar with some of his images, I was not familiar with him as a photographer until I came to the museum. And then we started to discuss the David Plowden's Iowa exhibition that was organized jointly between the Figge Art Museum and Humanities Iowa. So I saw that as an opportunity to draw out a longer, a deeper conversation about David and his work, and particularly so as I explored more the nature of his images and such as I saw them, as I viewed them, and then viewed his publications as well, of which there are over 22, and his works have appeared in more than 50 publications over the course of a 60-year career. So it's pretty extensive, and he is quite accomplished as a photographer. And so I thought it would be worth our exploring. And then, of course, his gifts to the museum are a gift, really, to the Quad Cities. And so we have an opportunity to share them in the form of this exhibition more widely.
Tell me about David Plowden just briefly. You know, where is he from, and how did he become an artist?
Well, David was born in New York and grew up in Manhattan, spent his formative years in Manhattan, and his family had a home in Vermont as well. He lived in other places, but it is clearly, if you listen to him talk and if you read what he has written about his photography, he's clearly was influenced at an early age by the bridges and ferries and tugs and steam locomotives that fascinated him. And so that, I think, those things, experiencing those things firsthand as a small person impressed him, and images of them became his lifetime pursuit. But it's more complicated than that, because he begins with his interest begins with the fascination with these things, but then it transforms itself into a concern for our collective technological heritage, and also a concern for the environment and the environmental degradation that goes along with progress and change.
And when you talk about technological heritage, is it mainly the environmental effects, or
maybe pretty simply put, that in the past, when, say, for instance, somebody designed a bridge to carry people across a river or a stream or an inlet, that there was an aesthetic element to those things that could be inspiring. And Plowden did a series of images for a book in the 1970s about bridges specifically. And what you find in looking at those images is that there's this huge array of wonderful designs that are in and of themselves inspiring and interesting and varied and clever for a variety of reasons. The alternative, the sort of the contemporary alternative of a sort of a flat concrete and steel bridge going over a river, lacks all those hallmarks of design and thoughtfulness and creativity that were apparent in those earlier manifestations. And so it's interesting. So you think about them and you think about their creativity and the people who created those things, and then you look at the contemporary alternative and sort of left feeling wanting or feeling cheated about the fact that we've lost, in our interest in efficiency and economy, we've lost a certain aesthetic touch.
And tell me about the works that are in the exhibit, and, you know, do they reflect some of that?
Yes, the collection of works, there are 70 works in the exhibition, and they are by no means a comprehensive survey of David Plowden's career. You know, that probably would, we could not do that in 70 images, and certainly not from the works that we have in our collection. I think he has several thousand images that are available through the Beinecke Library at Yale University, which houses his archive, and many of those images can be seen online. But this is just our brief survey, trying to encapsulate all the themes that David pursued and labored over and devoted his life to in the mere 70 images.
Besides the themes you've mentioned, what are some of the other ones?
Well, David also, his favorite passion, in fact, of the second half of his career revolved around the prairie. And there are a number of projects and books that reflected his passion for the prairie and the plains. The latest one is a book called Heartland. And prior to that, in the 1980s, he published a book called Sense of Place, The Sense of Place. And these, along with David Plowden's Iowa, which was the small exhibition we held here several years ago, reflect his passion and his love for this the middle of the country, this flyover space that most people pay little attention to. And so part of the exhibition, and there is a gallery guide with an essay that I wrote that sort of talks about Plowden and his interest in this non-traditional subject matter, the prairie, as being a sublime alternative to the grand works of photographers like Ansel Adams and those landscape photographers from the 19th century. So we explore that, and there are a number of other subjects that also are included. There's images from his work photographing steel mills, small coal towns in West Virginia, and just small town life, generally speaking. And so you are a witness to, through these images of these places, both the change, both evidence of maybe a more prosperous past, but also an inexorable change that demonstrates that the past is not going to be, we're not going to return to the past, but we're going to evolve somehow or other. And what direction that will be remains to be seen. But possibly with the loss of man's more ingenious creation. So no more steam locomotives or steam ferries or tugs, and no more elaborate iron bridges and that sort of thing. So we're becoming more efficient and perhaps less interesting as a result. And so you see all that in these images. And the exhibition is arranged in such a way that rather than grouping images by his projects, they are intermingled so that you can see themes that are aesthetic themes or visual themes that are echoed one photograph to the next that help to make sense of what Plowden's particular vision is. and how all these things work together and where Plowden fits in the second half of the 20th century in photography specifically.
Did he use any particularly special techniques or colors, anything like that?
Well, the bulk of Plowden's photographs are in black and white, and given the evolving technology and the loss of traditional photographic processes, he did evolve into using Photoshop, creating images initially on film, negative film, and then developing them, so to speak, and printing them out using Photoshop and pigment inkjet printers. So most of the images you see in our exhibition are of the latter type, so images from his body of work that have been printed specifically for us, for the collection, for the Quad Cities, and which we have on display. And then part of the photographer's art is how he works with those images in the darkroom, or in this case in Photoshop, and the process allows him to highlight or emphasize those elements or details of an image that he finds important, so that we as a viewer get a sense of what it is that he is trying to say or what he is trying to share.
Is that very typical of, photographers who've gone through the change of going from physical film to digital?
Yeah, I think so. The museum acquired recently a photograph by a photographer named Mark Klett. And Mark is he's a photographer who's at University of Northern Arizona and has been a documenter of a photographer of the American West, particularly the Southwest. And he is an example of the many photographers who have worked for decades using traditional film and printing out paper and doing traditional darkroom work, who has had to, because of this change, companies no longer manufacturing film or film becoming more difficult to get to, as well as printing out papers, et cetera. He's an example of that. And so he did previously, he would do very large silver prints, for example, and now he's working exclusively with digital cameras and digital printing techniques. And so Klett's work is a reflection of that. And so David Plowden, like Klett, like many others, have had to make this change for practical reasons, even though they may emotionally be more interested in using traditional film processes.
Does that affect the work itself? Do you think that just the change in the tools makes a difference in, what they're trying to say and show?
To a certain degree it does, but what you lose from the traditional process and what you gain in the new process, I think they offset each other. So there are things that you can do. Anybody who's made the switch will recognize that a damaged negative or a dusty negative from the past may be very difficult to deal with in the darkroom. But with the advent of programs like Photoshop, you can do a certain amount of restoration of your images and bring them back to life. Plus, you have the advantage of being able to work in greater detail on portions of, a digital file or negative, and bring out things that you feel are important, which may have been lost in the darkroom process. So there's opportunity. It's a blessing and a curse. It does mean, too, though, I think this is one of the more important things. I know many photographers have spent years in the darkroom with chemicals developing and printing and suffering from that experience. it does mean that you can of course get out of the dark room and you can do these things more comfortably and you can spend more time perfecting the type of image that you want to create and share with people. So I think from that standpoint, it's quite a luxury. And of course, the ubiquitousness of Photoshop and programs like that, and the ability, say, for instance, for young people to use their digital camera or their phone to create images that are meaningful to them and share them more widely is really a wonderful thing. And it is an example, too, of the wonderful democratic nature of photography. And that's one of the things that I think is interesting about photography and unique to photography and less so about other forms of art, which is that many people can participate. Not all of them are going to do great works, but many people can participate. It is accessible to all, and so therefore that ability to communicate through images is free and easy and wonderful and can be shared.
It just amazes me that the number of pictures I take has grown, you know,
yeah, and I think
exponentially, and then I just want to delete a bunch, you know, because they're so, you know, they're not good.
Yes, and so that's the thing, and I think that is that's what separates the amateur photographer from the professional photographer who is interested in creating a body of work that has meaning and meaning that is important enough for them to devote their life to it. And they do, too, a great deal of editing and filtering of their images so that they can make sure that what is being said is what is intended. And that's the difficulty for perhaps young people or other people who are collecting images wherever they go and not having a thought process built into what they're doing where they filter out or are able to filter out what is meaningful and what is not meaningful. It's interesting because this topic is not new. It is many things about photography as a discipline, as an art form, tend to remain with us for over the 150 plus years of its existence, and so you can find people writing about photography in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s with the advent of smaller cameras and companies like Kodak to develop your film for you and do all that work for you. Some people are very critical of that these people who create candid shots or snapshots are not serious in their work. And while there have been of late exhibitions and curators focused or interested in candid images or vernacular photography, so say, for instance, somebody's looking through somebody's vacation photos and finding images that are in some way exceptional or interesting and beyond the norm has become a thing in the photo world and in museums interested in exhibiting photography. But nevertheless, the thing, again, that separates a David Plowden from the amateur photographer is the dedication of one's life to this pursuit, and sometimes at the expense of family and other things. And
right, just like any artist might happen.
Indeed, and then the other element too that is important about David's work is that if anybody's heard him interviewed or read his books, they would know that the personal stories of people in the places that he photographed are pretty important. And while you may not see many images of people in the exhibition, it's almost guaranteed that virtually every photograph has a personal story where David connected with the people who maybe lived on the farm, or the people in the town, or the men working in the steel mill or on the Great Lake steam ships, etc. They inform, I think, to a great degree, what his images look like, why they look the way they do, and what he has chosen to focus on. Not always is it necessarily a pleasant scene, but what David manages to do is to make even the, you know, sort of the roughest places or the most industrial places show a kind of beauty to them that comes through loud and clear in his photographs. And I think that that is, I think that's his great gift to us, and that, too, that we are mindful of the cost of progress, industrial decay, and loss of neighborhoods as, you know, highways and are put through, or the agribusiness and the farmstead, the small farmstead is disappearing into larger sort of industrial farms, and then, of course, there's the landscape itself, which has been sullied by our activities. Now, he would balance that by saying there are people who feel very strongly about, maybe their jobs in a steel mill or working in a coal town, and how important that was to them in that period of prosperity, while life was difficult, was a great time and important, and we should also appreciate that aspect of it, which is these are places that were important to people, and they prospered. And so, the downside, of course, is the change. And, of course, this is that change is one of the major topics in our political debates today.
What's a way we could describe his work without, using cliches like gritty or realistic?
Well, I think the most common and important word to use with David Plowden, as it would be with many of the important photographers of post-war America, is straight. And that is that his photographs seek to give you a straight and direct impression of the thing or the place that he is photographing. And he's not so much concerned with the objects in the photograph, but a sense of the, again, to quote him, a sense of the place that he's photographing, so that we are hopefully closer to being in his shoes as we look at these places and hopefully value them for the unique places that they are.
And like you said, the people behind them, mm-hmm, that he's spoken with and informed his art. So
yes, and those I see those things as intertwined, uh-huh, the place with the people, and that close linking is reflected in both their periods of prosperity and periods of economic downturn.